what you believe in with this team is the way that it was built to mesh, and you're finally starting to see it, not to mention Senga, Minaya on the horizon, so the rotation for the first time all year long is going to be what was supposed to be going into the year. But now, BT, the bats, they carried them past the Yankees over the course of the weekend in the Subway Series, and now the bats again with that comeback last night. The big three, you want to throw a Nimmo for the fourth. That's why the Mets had success last night, and that is why you should have hope and positivity about this ball club moving forward.
Totally different feel. You know, the Brewers, I think that's where the Mets kind of stabilized the season. I think the Yankees series is where they kind of flexed a little bit. And now last night, that very well might be a foreshadow of the Mets starting to take back off here. And the way they did it offensively is really the way this team was built to win. You know, we talked about this going into the season, like, you know, what kind of profile do the Mets have? Are they going to be a pitching team? Are they going to be a little bit of both? Are they going to be an offensive team? Obviously, you bring in Soto, and the needle's going to tilt to the offensive end. Last night was a very impressive win, and Nimmo looks fantastic, and Alonso's had a really big year. My only question is, when I look past, you know, the 4-5 hole, right, I still don't love what I see. I'm seeing more and more from Mauricio. There are some signs. You get Winker back. But if the Mets are going to hit their way to wherever they're going this year, I still think they got to make a trade, get a bat. I really do.
And that's where we disagree. You're focused on the bottom of the order, and I was focused on the top of the order. I don't care about the bottom of the order. They'll get a professional center fielder, but as far as a big bat goes, now if they get it, I'm not going to be opposed to it, but I don't think that they need it as long as these guys at the top do what they're supposed to do. Now, I would take Nimmo out of that equation. He has been a part of the equation for the last month, and that's part of the appeal for Brandon Nimmo that he could do that. I need to see it consistently before I believe it. Am I sold that Nimmo's going to be a 300 hitter with the power that he showed, 10 home runs in June, whatever it may be? I'm not sold. I'm sorry. I like Nimmo, but I've seen this before. We've seen it for flashes and spurts. We haven't seen it consistently. However, the other three are as good of a threesome in Major League Baseball. And when that top of the order comes up and you know Lindor's going to get an opportunity, Soto's going to get on base, Alonso's going to get an opportunity to drive him in, that's where the Mets, to me, become a very dangerous team. It's something they have not had in years, and that's why I believe they could separate themselves from the rest of the National League. So, like, the bottom of the order is all right, and it could get better, but I'm not that concerned about it because the top can be and has been, at least for the last week or so, elite with those three.
It can be, but I'm not taking chances because the up-and-down nature to Nimmo, and listen, he looks phenomenal, right? I'm not trying to take anything away from Brandon Nimmo. He is absolutely balling. And obviously, Pete's had a real bounce-back season and looks really, he looks amazing.
He's back up to 290 now.
I know. That's interesting that you say that because there was that point where you're like, all right, we know he's not a 330 hitter, 320, and the number was obviously going to dip. And then when it got to a certain point, like, is he ever going to see 290 again? Well, he's battled his way back up. So, no doubt, props to these guys. This is not a blanket criticism of the Mets. This is an acknowledgement for me that they want to get to the World Series. They got to have a little more. And I say that because I don't think that you can expect a lot of 3-2, 4-3 Met wins. And I see a lot more 7-6, 6-5s, 8-5s in that neighborhood. As the pick, now I know you got some reinforcements coming back, obviously get that here, but, and we'll get to Clay Holmes later, but the pitching to me is not good enough to rely on somebody like Nimmo not to take a step back to what has been his mean the last couple of years, and I'm trying to work around that. I'm trying to be proactive. It's not like, well, if the Mets don't get a bat, they're dead, and they're destined to win 85 games. No, I'm not saying that. This is all built on the thought of, well, can the Mets get to the World Series? Can the Mets win the World Series? And if they want to do that, they need another stick.
Yeah, see, for me, they can win it because of those big three. And that's what I'm going to keep focusing on. You can focus on the bottom of the order. Everybody can talk about all the bottom of the order. And that was a popular thing the last several weeks. It wasn't the bottom of the order. It was that the top of the order wasn't getting it going together.
That was both.
Yeah.
It was both.
No, it's the top.
No. It was both. When the Mets were scuffling, the bottom of the order was doing nothing.
How the bottom of the order do last night?
No, I'm not talking about last. I'm saying when they were scuffling.
Right.
So, but let's not just pretend that didn't happen.
But the focus on the bottom of the order, to me, like, what are they supposed to have all-stars at every position?
No, I just think they need one more.
But my point is the hard part to get is what they have at the top. They have superstars. Forget about all-stars. Superstars in Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Three of the best in the game together. Very few teams have that type of tandem. So to me, the bottom of the order is, it's not irrelevant, but it's less, way, way, way less important and much, much, much easier to get a stick back there, whether it's Alvarez coming back up, whether it's Vientos finding his way, whether it's adding somebody else, whether it's Mauricio or McNeil hitting a little bit. Like, that to me is something that's an easy fix and fine-tuning what should be a championship ball club. But the top of the order, when they are clicking together, which we have not seen to date.
I get that. I'm not disagreeing on that part. I agree with you. When they're hitting, they look top shelf. You trust Nimbo?
Well, I do trust Nimbo to a certain extent, but I'm focused on Lindor, Soto, and Alonso, and yes, I do.
Okay, so if you trust those three, and I see why you would, obviously,
well,
a little bit
not.
Of a... Well, you don't have the same faith in Pete that you do Soto or Lindor. I think Pete's a third in the equation.
Pete has been proven to be the premier run producer for this team, and clearly we know the power is going to be there. And every single time, outside of maybe a series or two where there was a little period against the Rays where I was like, oh, he's chasing a little bit, maybe reverting back to last year's form, he's come out of that and again regained what was his greatest strength all year long. So the fact that he's hitting 290, even if he hits 280 to finish the year, yeah, I believe what Alonso's doing this year is sustainable the rest of the year.
And I'm not even trying to push back on Pete. To me, I think it's more about Nimmo, and I think the lower third, which I will certainly stand by, only because I don't know what awaits the Mets from a pitching perspective. And to me, this is the time to be proactive. Where if, you know, I know Manaea has come back, but what if he's not the same guy? I'm not saying that this will happen, but I've got to guard against this possibly happening, because once you get past a certain date, there's nothing else that you could do. So Manaea comes back, and if he's dealing, that's a great thing. If he comes back and he's a little wobbly, and now it's August 5th and August 9th or in Sango, there are reinforcements returning. There's no guarantee that they all work out. And I'm just saying, the mission for the Mets now, like the Yankees and the Dodgers and 3, 4, 5 teams in baseball, Phillies, even though they're a mess right now, is to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. And I've got to make sure that I check enough columns from a Mets perspective where I can deal with Nimmo going in a funk for 3 weeks hitting 180. I can deal with Pete, you know, in a little bit. And by the way, everybody's going to go through a week or so where they don't hit.
Well, that's also the point of the conversation, where last week or 2 weeks ago, the Mets were left for dead. And now they're back in first place, 13 games in front of the Braves and tied with the Phillies, obviously, for first. So, and playing well as they've played with their rotation fully intact.
Like, there's no doubt, but that's why, friend, the first thing I said today was the Brewers series was a stabilization of the season. That was imperative. That was a great character check for the Mets, right? Then the Yankees series, little flex, okay. Play well against them, went 2 out of 3. Last night, to me, had the feel of a win. Is it their best, their second, whatever? I'll let Met fans or the manager or the players assign an absolute value to that. But I know it's a galvanizing win. And I know that after galvanizing wins, like those kind of wins, the tendency is to, in certain spots, overrate what you have. And all I'm saying is, it wasn't that long ago where the Mets could not get out of their own way. I'm not saying for a weekend or a week, for weeks. And I'm not letting that happen again. I want to win a World. I'm going. I want a World Series. They got to get another stick.
Yeah, I mean, they will add, but I don't know how you could say they need to get another stick after what they've done offensively recently against the Yankees and now again last night. The win was great, obviously, but it's against the Orioles. Like, they shouldn't lose to the Orioles. So the way that they came back made it special. How'd they come back? Nimmo gets on, Lindor, 2-run homer. Soto gets on, Alonso, 2-run homer. Boom! The top of the order. That is what's special about this group. Not to mention the return of Senga and Manaea. So everything is in place. They'll add. How big a bat they'll add, I don't know. But I'm in love with those three guys. You want to add Nimmo. You want to have a conversation about whether Nimmo can sustain this or not? I think that's fair.
Well, that's always on the table because he's 31 years old and he's never really truly sustained it for three or four years. So that's obvious.
So maybe he's the X factor. Or you want to say, well, if it's not Nimmo, it's got to be Vientos. That's fair. And what would give you confidence that Vientos is going to be that extra bat in addition? I think the Mets need a legitimate bullpen arm. They need a center fielder. I would not say that they need a big bat. We've been waiting to see this lineup do exactly what they've done now the last 4 games or so. That is what they needed to have happen, and I have no reason to believe it would not continue. I'm not saying that all three are going to continue the rest of the season at the same time clicking together, but for the majority of it, I believe that they will, because those are three superstar players this year.
Well, but think about this now. The fact that it took months to happen, shouldn't that give you pause on believing that it's going to continue the rest of the way?
Maybe.
Took so long.
Yeah, not me. Well, I think it just has...
It's really been Nimmo more than anybody. I mean, think about it. It's really been Nimmo.
Well, no, Soto was slow to start, And then when Soto,
but he still had the power numbers and the OPS, and he was on base. Like, Nimmo was invisible.
But when Soto got hot, then Lindor cooled off, and Alonso cooled off a little bit, more so Lindor. Now, finally, like, I don't know how many games this year you've seen Lindor and Alonso homer. I'm sure that you could pull that up or whatever. And Soto produced the way that he did. That is what is going to carry this team ultimately. Even if they add another bat, big bat, whatever, what will carry this team will be Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Good luck pitching to that trio in the postseason. That's how they were built, to be an offensive juggernaut. And that's what we're seeing now finally the last couple of games.
Do you think order of priority? All right, so It's got to be for you. It sounds like it's pen. Pen,
yes, 100%.
All right, is it bat two or
center
or
fielder
arm?
Two?
Oh, okay, more than a starter.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, now they're, dude, think about this. What teams finally start clicking, you know, July, whatever it is, 8th or 9th, and have their rotation for the first time all year?
Yeah,
they're starting five together.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first turn through, knock on wood, assuming nothing happens here with a setback or anything like that, that they have Senga, Manaea, Peterson, Holmes, Montas. Those five were built to be the starting rotation. So, and they will add. Like, I have no doubts the Mets are going to be aggressive here. But it is funny how there was a lot of panic and a lot of worry and a lot of conversation about, oh, man, the Mets might be in trouble. And now, all of a sudden, a week later, you look at it, they're hitting. The big three are getting it clicking together. Core four, whatever. I'm not going to label them that. I think it's foolish to say core four or the fab four or whatever. I look at it as big three. Plus Nimmo, he's got to earn his way into. Brandon Nimmo's not on the level of Lindor, Soto, and Alonso, so I'm not putting him there yet. He may have had a big month. I've seen him have a big month before. He's got a long way to go before he's a caliber of those three guys who are basically perennial all-stars. But you have those guys clicking, rotation coming back, and they're going to be aggressive. This is as good as it's been for the Mets, and it's a good time to do it. We're now that, as you used the term yesterday, the, not evaluation mode, the, what was the term you used when we discussed
the laboratory, the experimental phase.
The experimental phase of the season is over. Now you're ready to go, push the pedal to metal, go win a division, and fine-tune this ball club.
And that's the goal, and that's what Stearns is going to have to do, and he will, I would imagine, to what degree we'll see. But you make it seem like almost we were nutso the way we reacted to this month-long malaise by the Mets. And to me, like, and this applies to the Yankees as well, when you have a long stretch, not a week or a weekend or two, you play that kind of baseball for a month. It doesn't mean that your season can't be turned around.
Right.
But it means to me there are too many components of the team that are problematic to have unwavering faith to the point where I'm not making a big move. And, you know, you also mentioned Peterson, like he's been rock solid. He's been awful for the last, and I love Peterson.
Yeah. Well,
you
that
know that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I love him, but, you know, he's been wobbly. You know, you throw Montas in there like he's Ron Darling and Dwight Gooden.
No, but it's
these are guys, Clay Holmes' innings limit's coming up.
All I'm saying is that's their starting rotation finally.
Which is why you need another bat, because that rotation, there's no guarantee that, come on.
But they've had one of the best records in baseball without their starting rotation intact. Forget about who the arms are. How many teams can survive not having their starting five? And now they get that back. That, to me, is exciting. Whether you like Montas or Peterson or not, to me, is irrelevant. It's about getting Senga and Manaea back in the rotation at the same time and finally have how they drew it up in the offseason together now. That's got to be a good thing. I don't think it could be worse than what it was before, even if Montas isn't consistent, even if Peterson isn't consistent, although I do think he will be. Like, everybody's going to have a bad start or two. To have him as a third starter in that rotation, Montas as the fifth starter, you could push Clay Holmes back to four and have him be a five-inning guy. So I think right now it's as good as it has been for the Mets all season long, even without the division lead being tied, considering where they were a week ago.
Yeah.
And everybody coming back, and now the offense starting to click. I think this is the season high for the Mets right now.
You know what, Sal? Listen, I think that now they're in their relative infancy of being reshaped from a Cohen, Stearns, Mendoza perspective. As an organization, like, bigger picture for a second, I don't think, and I don't think that you think, that the Mets, that this group together is in their infancy in terms of being able to go on this long run, only based on some of the age and some of the contracts and some of the situations, which is why I'm going for it. And, you know, and I know they'll get a bullpen arm. They might get another starter that they can just have as an extra number. They might get a center fielder that could catch it, maybe hit a little bit, although they have one that could catch it, but maybe hit a little bit more. I think that that's too conservative. Like, I think the Mets that you saw last night, I think that the Mets you saw for the most part against the Yankees, the Mets that you saw get off the mat against the Brewers, like, And obviously, outside of that 3-week stretch where they played horrendously, the way they played very well during most of the season to start, like, this group has earned, I think, a big trade. Not a little tweak or a little tink or a little sprinkle of salt on the side. Get them another piece of meat and go and win a World Series.
Finally, last night, they were able to come back from a deficit, which they have not done all year long, so showing some resiliency there.
That was a good win.
Things are rolling. Yeah, and again, it's against the Orioles, so I wouldn't go nuts, but that's a good win when you thought the game was over, and then they come back, and the way that they did it with their superstars coming through. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you, at a Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Kelly is calling from Massapequa. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, guys. You know, it wasn't so long ago in the beginning of the season, David Stearns didn't want to give Pete Alonso a decent contract. And all of a sudden, Pete Alonso is really the MVP of the Mets this year, without a doubt. Not Soto, not Lindor, Pete Alonso.
So
he has
far
come up with major home runs. He's won a lot of games for the Mets this year. And I hope at the end of the season when he goes free agency, I would love to see Brian Cashman pick him up.
Well,
think
Yankee,
about
I mean,
that lineup with the Yankees, if he did do that. Bellinger.
Kelly, we're talking about the Mets here. We're not talking about the Yankees. And the Yankees had their chance to get Pete Alonso, and thank you for the call. Here's what you need to know about Pete Alonso, and this shows you why we were so down on him the last two seasons. He's already had more hits this year, already, with runners in scoring position than he did all of last year. That is telling. He's already, it's July 9th or whatever it is, already had more hits with runners in scoring position than he had all of last year. So when we would have the conversation last year, where does Pete rank amongst the most impactful Mets? And it was near the bottom of the list. This year, he has been atop the list. That's what Pete Alonso should be doing consistently. And the last 2 years were not that. I'm glad to see he found himself. And even more so, he's the best version that he's ever been. And yeah, he has been the Mets' most valuable player. The premier run producer in that lineup. Doesn't hurt to have Juan Soto on base in front of you, you know, whatever percentage of the time that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete Alonso is making teams pay when Alonso or Lindor or whoever, Nimmo, is on in front of him.
Dude, think about the conversation. Because as you just alluded to, something we talked about last year, I remember very well, we were going through, at various points of the season, 6 or 7 names that were more impactful than Pete, including Iglesias.
Right.
And not
right
just because of the music, but the production.
No, he was more impactful.
Vientos
for sure.
I mean,
Lindor,
obviously, yeah. Lindor was on a sick run. So, you know, that we didn't just make that up. And I could tell you this, and forget about Pete going to the Yankees. Pete's a Met. Pete's either a Met or he's going somewhere else. Like, you'd love to see it finish up here.
Well, the Yankees didn't want him. They
I know. Understood. I think that I pretty much know. If this is the Pete, this year's version of Pete was the one that he presented the last 2 or 3 years, he wouldn't have been fighting for every nickel.
Bingo.
It would have been an easy 5-year deal, 6-year deal, career Met, Hall of Fame, let's go, 500 bombs, you're a Met.
100%.
I know. Always said that.
100%. I'll be curious to see how this offseason plays out, but that's not a conversation for July 9th.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Enjoy the run now. And obviously, Kelly, probably a Yankee fan, which is why I was looking at it that way.